Craig, well, thanks for joining us. Now, Red Christmas, it's a very intriguing film and it's premiering at the Sydney Film Festival this week. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. It is a horror film, but some people at other festivals it's gotten into have started to describe it as a horror comedy. It's about a woman who's retired and has grown up children, and they all come home on Christmas Day. And during their Christmas present opening ceremony, something bizarre happens. There's a knock at the door and a man in a cloak enters, and that's where things go bad.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I've given... I was trying not to give too much away, but I can talk further as to what that bad thing is, if you like.
No, I think that's fair. I think we don't want to give too much away. I mean, it is a horror film, but it has a darkly comic streak running through it at the same time.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of comedy, and most of the things I've ever done in Australia as a director have been comedies, and I just love laughing at things, and I think it's an awesome way of communicating ideas. But there's a sort of a limit, I think, to what comedy can deal with. It's excellent at dealing with small things, social interactions and things, but then there's a point where I think comedy needs to step aside and let horror come in. And what the guy in the cloak ends up doing in the film is bringing something that's such a horrible idea that it doesn't get dealt well with comedy, and I think that's where horror and science fiction and genres like that take up the stuff that's so horrible we normally put it in dreams.
Well, it's quite a formidable figure, the man in the cloak. I mean, he's kind of, in many ways, evocative of some previous iconic villains, but also has his quieter than usual, in fact, unique element to him.
Yeah. I mean, I love slasher films from the 80s. That was like a genre of horror where you introduce a cast and you introduce a theme and then it all gets dealt with by people dying. So it's really a bizarre way of communicating a story, but I love it because it's something that Shakespearean tragedies also do. You know, they introduce something and then people die and that's how lessons get taught. So I like that my bad guy comes in and isn't there to just be an ominous figure that kills people, but instead politely introduces himself and sits down and has a cup of tea. And he's also, I've tried to craft him so he's not malevolent. He's not an evil person. He's a misunderstood person, like some sort of Greek tragedy. And when you find out what that misunderstanding is, you could go both ways on being on his side, but at the same time, he's killing people. So it's a bit sad. And actually, there's a great film called Cujo, which is about a dog who has rabies. And it's kind of a really gut-wrenching film because the only reason the dog is trying to kill this woman and her son stuck in a car is because the dog has rabies. So before that, you've met the dog and he's really polite and he's a family dog and a little boy loves him. So it's a really conflicting film because the villain is just circumstances made him into a villain.
Something I found really interesting about this film, conundrum modern horror films have faced is how to deal with the advent of mobile communication, mobile phones.
Yes.
And I'm not to reveal anything, but I think it's an issue which you address and head on and very well in this film.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, at some point I had written into it, because I was the writer as well, scenes where, and it's always tacky in a movie where someone goes, oh, no, you're not going to get a reception out here, mate. You know, or, nah, the clouds come over. Some really ridiculous thing about mobile phone reception not working is in just about every modern horror film now where you realize the phones aren't going to work. But I thought I'd just explicitly show why they're not about to work in my film.
Absolutely. Now, you're working, obviously it's an Australian production, and you're working with a local cast. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the filming process and how you went about it.
Sure. I have worked a lot in comedy television and mostly on ABC. So I've been lucky enough to work with some excellent actors. Jeff Morrell is an Australian actor who's also a very serious, you know, historical figure in acting in Australia. He was in Cloud Street and heaps of films in the 80s and 90s. And he's in the film. And then most of the cast are then comedians. The villain is played by a very up-and-coming new comedian called Sam Campbell, who is crazy. And he keeps winning awards for his comedy in Melbourne and Sydney. And then there's a guy called Bjorn, who I worked with on Black Comedy. There's a actress called Janice McGavin, who I've worked with on sketch shows for ABC. There's another actress called Sarah Bishop, who is fantastic. She's one of the members of Skitbox, and they became a big viral smash hit recently for a thing they did called Activewear. She's in the Activewear video clip, which is like a parody of a song parody of the fad of wearing Activewear yoga pants out in public when you're not actually doing anything active.
No, it's really interesting just how much the elements of comedy and horror mix and meld together and are in many ways not at all dissimilar.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the body is moved by those two genres in that in Fear, you can jump and have a response in the body when something loud happens in a cinema, or you start to feel tense because you're associated with a character. You don't want them to get hurt, so you can feel fear. And I think the same thing happens with comedy. But I think the good trick with horror comedies is that you can open a door with the humor and the body responds to the jokes in it and people being, you know, positive and you smile a lot. And then whilst the body is vulnerable from laughter and through the good vibes associated with laughter, that's when I start to insert some horrible feelings. I sound like some sort of crazed psychopath filmmaker, but it's kind of my intention, I guess,
no, so
in that that's what the body does.
You're making a horror film after all.
Yeah, well, one, thank you.
Now, Craig, there's a number of point of view shots in the film, whether it be the kitchen sequence or the garden sequence, and it seems some of the most dramatic moments in the film are told directly from the point of view either of an object or, in fact, one of the characters.
Yeah, I mean, I love point of view shots. I think it's the phenomenon of cinema that you're able to be inside the eyes of a character. And it's exclusively to cinema, and currently, you know, it's becoming a virtual reality thing as well. But I love the feeling and the questions it raises when you are point of view and you may be the villain, but at some point you also become the protagonist in my film. And there's been a great history of point of view shots in cinema, including the Peeping Tom, which the first time it was used in the 60s, which put you inside. It just raised questions because you're inside the villain. And in the 80s, it also continued that if Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees, the bad guys, were standing outside, they were looking through bushes and you were inside of them. So it raises interesting questions because it says, well, are you responsible? And in a way you are, because you're watching the film. You are the viewer of the film and you've helped to generate it.
Absolutely. Now, lastly, the Sydney Film Festival opens this week. The premiere is coming up very soon. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very exhausted, to be honest, as well. I am so happy to have finished it. And it's also my first film and my first attempt at anything. The film's gotten into a number of other big international horror festivals, genre festivals, where I'm hoping to sell it. Because the other thing is, most of this film has been made for deferment, where everyone believes in the project, like a co-op theatre situation. And I've got contracts saying, if we sell it, we all make money. We all make the money we should have earned, and then we are all investors. So I've got, you know, a good bunch of 70 to 100 people all hoping that my crazy idea for a film is going to be okay. So a lot of pressure, but and a lot of excitement. I think we open on the 11th at Newtown Denny, which is sold out, and then it's on one more time on the 17th at George Street Event Cinemas. And I'm just excited to show an audience and to see how people respond.